Welcome, traveler, to the Inn at the Edge of Greenwood, a cozy roleplay podcast where adventurers from many realms come to tell their tales. You won't find any dice rolls or TTRPG mechanics here, just good old-fashioned make-believe and storytelling. We hope you enjoy your stay, and if you do, that you let us know with a review. Thank you for joining us. Now, let's grab something hot to drink and listen to a story.
Dear friend, that sickness caught me again, but I think I finally defeated it. I apologize for the length in between letters, but I was struck with this terrible cough and had little energy to do much more than my basic tasks for quite some time. But it is past, and the weather has turned, and I am grateful for the sun. Today's story is about a wonderful elf and her animal companion and the shenanigans they got into. It's quite the amusing and thought-provoking tale. The Inn at the Edge of Greenwood, Book 2, Chapter 4, A Familiar's First Flight. You cannot remember the last time you found yourself in a storm anywhere near the ferocity of the one you find yourself walking in right now. It is not just raining. The rain is coming at you from directions that are not natural. The wind is whipping it around, and it is getting to that point where it's not hail, but there's just a little bit of solidity to the raindrops. They're starting to sting your skin with the velocity that they are coming at you with. And this has been going on for a good 45 minutes or so that you've been walking in the midst of this storm. You keep waiting to find a place of cover or for it to subside, and it just doesn't. And even as you look around, left, right, forward, behind, there are no familiar markings that you can see through the storm in order to get your bearings. So you keep walking, desperate to find some sort of reprieve. And after another 10 minutes or so, and just to the point where you feel like maybe you're going to have to find a tree to sit against and just wait for this to blow over, dig a hole in the ground and try to hide in it, you catch sight of a small speck of light off to your right. It is flickering fiercely as whatever source of little fire or torchlight here is itself being buffeted by the winds. Nevertheless, this is the first sign of something other than the road and the wind and the rain that you have seen in some time. So what do you do?
I definitely push on towards that, probably, you know, cloak up over as much as I can, and tiny owl familiar hidden in the cloak somewhere, because very small, might blow away.
Your familiar is pressed against you as if to become one with your own form, hiding underneath that cloak as best they can. It's another several minutes of walking to get to the light, mostly because you now have to turn directly into the wind in order to walk towards it, and it is pushing you back. However, after a time, you get within sight, and you can just make out the outline of a building on a hill. It seems to be two stories, an outbuilding attached, potentially a stable, really hard to tell in the amount of wind and debris that is being whipped up. But as you're getting closer, all of a sudden, with a mighty thud, a door opens up and slams against the outside wall, having caught the wind as it did. And you see a shape outlined in the doorway with firelight glowing behind them. And you just hear a voice ring out, "Quickly! Quickly! Straight away! Straight here!" And you just see a hand being extended out towards you.
I'll grab the hand.
Okay, you take a few more steps. You grab the hand, and it grabs your wrist and pulls you in, and you almost go stumbling into this warm and dry interior. The door is grabbed and wrestled back closed. And the figure that pulled you in drops their own hood and reveals a young man with short brown hair, probably in his early 30s, maybe late 20s, with a very slender build. And the hair is wet and slicked and driven across his face. And he turns around and with a big breath, "Oh, why on earth are you out in the middle of that, my friend?"
"Well, I didn't intend to be out in it. Just was in the middle of traveling, and it kind of caught me unawares. I haven't seen a storm like that."
"They do whip up ever. Quickly. They do whip up very quickly. I'm going to find a dry cloak. Please feel free to throw your things by the fire." And you now look over to your left, and through a large kind of open banquet hall, there is a roaring fire going on the opposite wall. As this person leaves to get their own dry cloak, you do see this roaring fireplace. There is a bar set up, and there's a few glasses and bottles of wine set out just haphazardly. But no one else currently in what is quickly becoming aware of, what you're quickly becoming aware of as an inn or a tavern. And you're left here in this banquet hall by yourself for a moment.
Probably would definitely, Aurora would definitely make a beeline towards the fire to warm and dry herself.
Okay, so you make your way over to the fire. Begin the process of drying yourself off. Perhaps remove your cloak and hang it to dry on a chair. There are several large plush chairs that are nearby, as well as various wooden tables and places to sit. As you come up to the fireplace and take off your cloak to dry and begin to warm your hands, would you mind describing for us your character?
Yes. Aurora, at least, she stands probably average height for an elf, probably about 5.5 feet. She has long, wavy, blonde hair that gets a little bit darker towards the roots. But the feature people usually do notice first is her eyes. Her left eye is this sort of bright purple, and her right eye is sort of a light blue. And she is currently just wearing your basic traveling clothes, along with some basic jewelry.
And can you describe Pebble briefly?
Pebble is a very small owl. You could probably fit him in the palm of your hand. Maybe he's a little bit bigger than that. Probably a screech owl of some kind with these sort of just eyes that permanently look angry. These golden eyes that just, they seethe anger at all times. Like, he could be completely happy, but the eyes are just no anger.
I love that. Resting angry owl face.
Yep.
That's amazing. And a few moments later, you just hear that same voice ring out across the hall. "Can I get you anything to drink while you're warming up, my friend?"
She thinks for a moment and sort of like looks and then she just goes, "Tea, if you have it. I'm not incredibly picky about the kind."
"Well, we can certainly do tea. Let me get a kettle on. And nothing stronger I can tempt you with?"
"At least for now. Maybe after I've warmed up a little bit."
"Fair enough, fair enough. If you don't mind me, I'll be warming up the quick way." And he kind of raises a shot glass to you and then downs a quick shot of some amber-colored liquid. But he disappears into the back and comes out just a moment later with a large iron tea kettle, and he brings it over to the fireplace and hangs it on a crossbar over the fire. He sits down in a chair next to you, and as you both sit there waiting for the tea to boil, there's a few moments of silence. He doesn't immediately start any conversation.
"So do these storms happen often around here?"
"Not to this degree. Not that this is the worst storm I've ever seen. Goodness, there was the one when I was 12 that, well, he looks up and points upwards, took the roof off of this place. I don't think this one will quite do that. But it is a good one. Yes, I'm very lucky you stumbled upon us and didn't have to spend another minute outside in the midst of that. I'm so sorry. In the process of trying to get warm myself, I didn't offer any introduction. This is the inn at the edge of Greenwood. I'm the innkeeper, and well, what's your name?
Oh, I'm Aurora, and, you know, probably opens up the cloak slightly. You can see the nestled in tiny little owl, and she just goes, and this is Pebble.
That is the second owl that has been brought into this tavern in as many weeks. That's a remarkable coincidence.
I promise he usually behaves.
That's good. The last one, not so much.
He just gives me a lot of bad ideas that I usually try and ignore.
I see. Devil on your shoulder of sorts.
Yeah, pretty much.
Do you have another owl under the other side of the cloak that gives you the good ideas?
No, sadly, I don't have a second owl that gives me better ideas.
Okay. And he chuckles, and you hear the tea kettle begin to whistle. He gets up, pulls a little tray over with some teacups, drops some leaves in there, and begins to pour. You'll need to let that steep for a few minutes, but it's some stuff that we grow out in the back in our own garden, so I hope you enjoy.
It smells amazing.
Oh, good. It's not my... Oh, gosh, I was going to make a horrible pun. It's not my preferred drink, shall we say, but my sister grows it, and she's much more of a tea drinker than me, and she says it's wonderful, so I trust her.
As one does. I don't know. I guess I picked up the habit from my father, who would just drink the stuff constantly.
Oh, interesting. My father was more of a coffee man, though he did have a somewhat irksome insistence that the coffee must be brewed a certain way, otherwise it was not true coffee, and yada yada yada. You know how it is when people are stuck in their ways.
Oh, I definitely do. My father was very much, or is very much, one of those people.
So where are you headed? I think I saw you coming from the west. So headed eastward, you must be making for Trawbridge.
I don't remember that on a map, but I'm not very good at actually reading the maps.
Yes,
spent most of my life in one place, in one city.
Oh, where was that? In Inaport or?
No, I'm from a city in Tal'Dor, Opara.
Do you mean to say Opiri?
Maybe some people pronounce it that way. It is a large capital.
So you're from the south, then?
I guess it would be south of here.
Huh. You're not, well, I guess I better check first. You're not, you of course know of Excessa and King Ustaman, correct?
No, I actually don't think so.
Okay, so not Opiri, pronounced the way you say it, Opara, interesting. Right. Oh boy, the explaining part of this is always interesting. And he starts to look like rub his temples a little bit and look a little flustered. But then he says, Now, to be fair, I'm not familiar with all of the elven kingdoms and whatnot, but there does seem to be a habit of folks who come through this part of the country. Well, let's just say they aren't actually from this part of the country, meaning they... Well, let me ask you this. Where were you before the storm began?
Oh, I believe I had just left Tal'Dor and started to cross over another part of the Inner Sea region. My destination is Absalom. Is the name familiar?
I very much think you will make your way to that destination, friend. However, You have found yourself on a bit of a detour. None of the places you mention are familiar to me. And I suppose if I began the process of telling you of Ferrith and Aurora and Valenhai and Drewcaster and the great city of Excessa, none of that would be familiar to you. Would I be correct?
Yes, you are correct. I don't recognize any of those places.
Right. So, are you familiar with the planes of existence?
Vaguely. My father is a rather powerful wizard, and he would talk a lot about realities and different planes, but I never really understood it all that well.
Yes. I'm no expert, but there seem to be multiple, shall we say, iterations of worlds, and you're not in your world at the moment. You're in a different world, probably very similar to yours, but a different country. This is the kingdom of Alson in the world of Shaul. I think it's a different... we're not sure exactly how it happens, but you seem to have crossed over. But this happens quite frequently, and folks always find their way back.
Well, that's good. I mean, I'm sure this place is absolutely fascinating, but I do have a destination to get to eventually.
Yes. You're taking this more remarkably well. You have a level head on your shoulders. I appreciate that.
I've spent a lot of time reading books and things like that. My father was teaching me from pretty much as soon as I could start walking, I was helping him with his studies, and he would take over my education, and he was very strict, but at least I can take care of myself.
The parallels here are interesting. My father, too, from the time I could walk, was teaching me, however, more... Well, less to do with books and magic and wizards, and more to do with, and he kind of looks up and about, the running of this place and farming, and, well, I suppose I can take care of myself now as well. So he raises his glass. Here's to fathers, at least the things they taught us that helped.
Yes, Aurora will raise her glass as well, or teacup, and, you know, cheers to that.
He takes a sip, and there's a little moment of silence. And then you see him squirm in his seat a little bit. Not squirm so much as just shift, and almost begin to say something, but then hold back. And then he does shift a little bit more and kind of looks at you and goes, "Forgive me, I don't mean to be a pry or to impose. That being said..." You're quite possibly from another world, one that I've never been to, nor ever shall be. Would you mind telling me what it's like? Would you mind telling me about yourself?
I've spent most of my time growing up in Lopara, which is in the country of Taldor, which is beautiful, I guess. But, I've been there my whole life, and I guess eventually decided I needed to get out and see the world. But Galorian is, at least from what I've read in the books, a very wonderful place, filled with all sorts of strange things. There's even a part of Galorian where they say ships from the sky touched down. Yeah, so maybe one day I'll get to go there and see what that's all about.
You know, they tell stories of the capital city. Here it's called Excessa. I've never heard of skyships, but the artificers there do make many wondrous things, I've heard. And it is, what is the saying on the list of things to do before one kicks the bucket? It's on mine.
Yes. And I mean, that is part of the reason why I'm headed to Absalom. There is a school there that I'm going to study at.
To be a wizard?
Well, technically, yes. I find I tap into different kinds of magics than most wizards. I feel like there's been a force that's been guiding me most of my life, and when I was younger, I used to go out on the balcony late at night and map the stars, and, you know, out of her bag, she's gonna pull out this very old and sort of crude-looking star map. I was working on this since I really could understand what stars and constellations were. I felt a deep connection with the night and the stars.
He kind of takes the map and is looking over it, and you see he kind of furrow his brow as he studies it, and then he begins to smile, and he's just like, these are, every single constellation here is different. This is remarkable. I would love to see the stars of your world.
Well, I also hope that maybe the storm passes by so I can at least get a brief glimpse of the constellations that are here.
You stop and listen, and the wind is continuing to whip outside, and the innkeeper just kind of, I don't know. I think this is going to be a long one, but perhaps if you find yourself here for another night, some do. Most go back the same day they came, but yes, perhaps tomorrow.
Perhaps, if I'm still here, I guess, but, you know. Other than that, and, you know, as she's, like, been, she sort of takes her cloak off, and now it's closer to being dry, we'll, like, hang it over, and she'll sort of start playing with a little amulet that's around her neck, and it's a symbol of a butterfly, sort of with these purple and blue hues on it. And then when I was younger, I found my way to one of the few times I left my father's house, at least on my own. I found my way to a temple of the goddess Desna, and I spent a lot of time there and kind of became a place I would go occasionally when I needed to just clear my head.
The Greenwood has always been my, shall we say, place of meditation or worship or whatever you want to call it. There are no temples anywhere nearby, but I find being in nature helps me center myself.
Yes, I most of the time when I've seen nature, it is from a distance.
You should get up close and personal. Go hug a tree. It's good for you.
I think I did that earlier today when the storm started up and a fierce wind hit me and I swear I was almost swept away.
Yes, well, the wind gave you a hug there in that moment. Well, that's the thing about nature. It's both beautiful and tender and fierce and terrible, all in one.
Yes, I have certainly noticed that. I certainly hope I don't have to come across another storm of this caliber before I make it to my destination.
Well, if you do, you should get yourself some lead boots to hold you closer to the ground. Keep you from being swept off your feet.
That's not a bad idea.
You do notice he's got a small smirk on his face there, as if he's trying to hold a chuckle in.
And Aurora will, you know, after being like, oh, that's probably a wise idea, and then think for a moment and just then, oh, yes, I see.
Yeah, sorry.
No, you're good. My father isn't much for humor. He does sort of see it as a waste of interaction, so maybe a little bit of a slow on the uptake.
Well, nothing against your father. I've never met the man, but everyone needs a little humor from time to time. I'm going to get myself a glass of wine. Can I offer you one?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
All right.
You know, something a little bit extra to help warm up.
That was my thought, too. So he gets up and walks to the back where the bar is and pours two glasses of wine, brings you one. And as he sits down, his body language has become more open and more comfortable to you as he's been chatting with you. And he asks, I'm curious, Aurora, could you... Well, do you have a tale to tell? We're by a fire, we're at an inn. It seems like the perfect opportunity for some stories.
I believe I have something. I guess one could consider it a tale of... Oh, the time I wrecked my father's lap.
Ooh, this one, I can't wait.
Yes, she'll take a sip from the wine glass and be like... So I don't know if you've picked up on this, but... Pebble is, I guess, what you would what people of the magical persuasion would consider a familiar. As I was testing my magic, you know, early on, I think I was a teenager, reckless and maybe a little bit tired of being cooped up. I summoned Pebble for the first time, and I didn't realize that even though for such a small owl, he could fly very quickly.
Hmm.
And there was one time where my father has this gigantic room in the middle of his laboratory where he has so many books all over the walls, just bookshelves and some tables with various alchemical instruments in the center. And since I didn't want to just throw Pebble out of a window to let him fly and maybe something bigger might attack him, I didn't want to do that, so I decided, you know, let's put Pebble in the large room for today and let him just sort of fly around and look at the books.
A logical conclusion.
This was also when I realized Pebble was maybe a little bit of a demon. Because as soon as I let him go and he started flying around, he instantly started to critique all of my father's literature choices. And then he started to pull books off of the wall. And that was the strangest game of Catch the Falling Books I have ever played. And then I was unable to get one of them. And my father had this alchemical experiment going. And the book smashes down through one of the beakers. And whatever it was, got all over the table. And then there was just this horrible smell that smelled like burnt hair and things like that. It was not good. But the whatever it was where it was reacting with the wood was causing this very disgusting green smoke. And it was at that time I heard one of my father's servants sort of welcome him back after his meeting with the High Magister.
And oh, no.
I had 30 seconds to figure out how to clean this up. This is also how I learned that the spell Prestidigitation is your best friend in all of these things.
I know that one.
Yes, this is very, very good. I was luckily able to... After getting Pebble to hide on top of a bookcase, because I wasn't sure how my father would react at an owl, through much grumbling, but I managed to, through promising mice and other things, I managed to get him to hide, and then, using prestidigitation, I cleaned it up, but of course there was still all the broken glass, and luckily, he did believe me that the experiment just got too hot and the glass shattered. But that was also the time I almost burnt down my father's lap.
Oh, no. He kind of leans in and looks at Pebble. You're a bit of a troublemaker, aren't you, my friend?
And one would hear probably some sort of grumbling from Pebble, you know.
Yes. I don't know what it is with owls and me. It seems to be a thing. Yeah.
He kind of feels that way with everyone.
Oh, that's honestly very encouraging to know. that is... So what happened? Like, did you... What type of punishment did you serve for that?
Well, I did have to spend the rest of the day cleaning up the lab, and then I spent most of that night redoing the experiment to his specifications so he could figure out whatever he needed from it. I'm honestly still not sure what results came of that one.
Well, you're still standing. Pebble's still flying, I assume, so...
Yes.
Suppose it's not the end of the world.
Oh, it was horrifying and probably one of the scariest moments of my life. Because, yeah, but I'm still standing.
I'm curious. I'm no magician, but I dabble in a couple of spells that I've learned from reading scrolls, and he snaps his fingers, and you see the candle lights that have been, or the candles around the various tables light up briefly, and he snaps again, and they unlight. Just minor tricks, things that honestly are actually kind of helpful when you're running an inn. But... Well, you see, you're not the first person to come through the door with one of those. And he points to Pebble, a familiar. And I'm curious, how does one get one of those? I have a cat, but I don't think it's the same thing.
Well, for me, I honestly, it's hard to explain, but it's almost like Pebble is the center of my magic, that magic I have comes through him. I think some wizards talk about having like an arcane focus, you know, an item that's very important to them that they use, like a wand or a staff.
I see.
But for me, it's been Pebble. As I said, I've always had this strange connection with stars in the night, and I feel like some sort of being out there at least smiled upon me.
Well, troublemaker or not, I think you're lucky to have him, and he's lucky to have you.
Yes, I do most days consider myself lucky to know him.
The innkeeper sits back and finish his drink, and you exchange more stories and pleasantries by the fire. The storm is much too great for any other travelers to be making their way this direction, so it's just the two of you for the evening, and eventually he gives you a key to a room where you can get some rest for the night. But as he's handing you the key and preparing to head to bed himself, he does kind of stop for a moment and say, I'm curious, what, we toasted to fathers earlier, and, well, it sounds like your father was, shall we say, a hard driver of your education, and I'm curious, do you maintain a good relationship with him?
I guess... theoretically, we have a good relationship. I mean, part of the reason why I'm going off to this school is that, you know, once I'm done with it, I will come and take his place in Taldor. He is hopefully going to be the next high mage there. And I would take whatever place he currently has in the court.
My father passed some years back, peacefully. And of course we grieved, but it is the way of life. I don't know. It's not my place to offer you any advice, but this talk of fathers has made me somewhat reflective, and he may be a, shall we say, career-focused man, but it sounds like he taught you because that was how he knew how to love you. And I guess I'm just glad to hear that you have at least a decent relationship with him. And, well, as someone who didn't always get along with his father and now doesn't have the chance to rectify that, I guess my encouragement would just be, don't hold any grudges you don't have to.
Okay.
For what it's worth.
Yes,
and he just kind of
It's good advice. You know. I don't know. It's... Our relationship was always strange. You know. I don't think he ever really had it in his plans to be a father. My mother was never in the picture, and from what I could tell, it was kind of... He had a fling with some girl, and then 9 months later, there's a baby on his doorstep. So, I guess he did probably about as good as he could in that situation.
Fair enough. Fair enough. That, what a shock that must have been.
I can't even imagine.
And then you keep shocking him by flying owls in his laboratories.
No, yes, that was interesting when I finally introduced him to Pebble.
I take it he wasn't, shall we say, smitten with the young beast.
No, it didn't really help that Pebble cursed him out the first time he met him.
The owl curses?
Yes, I'm trying to get him to not so much because it can rile company. But,
I'm rather curious. He kind of looks toward Pebble. Do you actually audibly speak? Could you curse for me?
And I honestly cannot do this accent to save my life. but, like, I guess you just, like, from the cloak, you just hear something say, fuck, in a Brooklyn accent.
Amazing. And the innkeeper laughs and gives you a wave, and you can hear him laughing as he goes off down the hall to his own room. You just hear, right before his own door closes, an owl that swears. I love it. The night finally does take you, and sleep is yours, to the tune of the winds whipping about you. And when you wake the next day, it's, oddly enough, in another inn, another tavern bedroom, but not the one you fell asleep in. And as you look out your window, you see familiar horizons of the world that you've always known. An owl that curses. I must say, that struck me funnier than I expected it to. There's no end to the wonders that come through my tavern doors. Aurora had a very mischievous streak to her, and I have to admit, I hope she gets into more trouble wherever she goes, at least a little bit, because it makes for good stories. It's interesting hearing from folks who didn't have good fathers, having been blessed myself to grow up with a good one. She certainly turned out okay. There's no one path towards being a good person. It's not about what happened to you in the past or even what you were taught that makes you good. It's the choices you make. I think she's making good choices. I look forward to writing with another story soon. Till then.